Is my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, the gospel lessons have been really good, so we're switching gears again. Or maybe it's just the way Bracken reads them that makes them so appealing. I don't know. Thank you, Lord. Again, let me just read this little part of what he read. This is verse 15 of Luke 3. Now, while the people were in a state of expectation and all wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he might be the Christ, and that's a great, we talked about this Sunday, only the expectant give birth to anything. And John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water. But he who is mightier than I is coming, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals, and he himself will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand to clean out his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's always been a fascinating scripture to me, and so for those of you who were here yesterday, we'll treat this like I planned a series, even though that's not true. We talked about repentance, and the word repentance means to turn or to change your mind or to turn your mind. And we talked about the fact that repentance isn't turning from something, it's turning to someone. And when you turn to that one, who alone can save you not just from hell, but save you from yourself moment by moment, that's repentance. The choice to turn to him, and in doing that, you're turning away from yourself, from your own flesh, your own self-effort, your own fallen and failing self-effort. That's repentance. And John the Baptist had the ministry of repentance. And he talks about here Jesus taking the winnowing fork and then burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That can seem like a scary verse, but it's not a scary verse at all. You know, when their day, when they would do like the barley or the wheat harvest, they would lay out the wheat in this big old room, or the barley in a big old room, and then they would beat it, thresh it, to break the hulls open, to crack the hard hull. And then they would take a winnowing fork, like a hay thing, and throw that up in the air, and then that which was lighter would blow away, and heavier would fall to the ground, because they'd already separated it from the husk. And so you'd have the kernel separated from the chaff. The chaff was a little bit lighter, it had no worth. And chaff in Scripture always talks about flesh. And so what he says here about Jesus, that Jesus is very committed, and I walk with him to cleanse us from the flesh, to cleanse us from looking to the flesh. Repentance, remember, is always about turning to him, turning to him, turning to grace. Grace has a face. That face is Jesus. So always turning to the gift of God's victory. And in doing that, we've turned from self-effort and the sin. But it's always about turning to him. And so Jesus is always promoting that. He's always wanting to separate the chaff from the wheat. The wheat would be the character and the life of Christ, that which is authentic Christianity. And the way he does that, he says, the winnowing fork is in his hand, and to clean out his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, and he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. God's winnowing fork, often in my life, has just been circumstances that the God who's the God in control uses to kind of expose the chaff in my life. There's a place in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, I think it's verse 5 or 6, that says, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? And what I've learned about it, when the Lord allows warfare or whatever is going on, the winnowing fork, God uses that to take me deeper into looking to him, into leaning into him. And in doing that, he exposes chaff, places where I've been depending on flesh, depending on myself, looking to other things. But what he wants to do, he wants to burn up that chaff. And here's the deal. The unquenchable fire here is not the unquenchable fire of God's judgment or anger. Are there places in Scripture where the fire, you can closely relate it to judgment, but even then, the dominant theme of fire in the Scripture is the unquenchable love of God? Song of Solomon says his love is like a vehement flame, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench it. So you have to understand, God's not petty. And so he doesn't deal with us in petty ways. He's not a manipulator. And so he doesn't try to condemn us, try to manipulate us, and use petty things like condemnation. God wants us to love him. And he wants our love to be voluntary. And the way he gets us to love him, it says in 1 John, we love because what? He first loved us. The unquenchable fire is that God's unquenchable, burning love for us is the thing that causes us to turn to him and away from flesh. That's how he deals with the chaff in our life. Is by, in the midst of the places of being winnowed, in the midst of warfare particularly. Remember again that Song of Solomon verse? Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Man, it's in those places when you're being winnowed that you discover your beloved is the one thing you need more than anything else. That you may lose everything else, nobody else, nothing else may be something you can depend on, but this is him. Sometimes we've talked about this over the years. Oftentimes, we'll only discover that he's all that we need when he's all that we've got. And it's not his judgment, his condemnation, the encounter in it. It's his unquenchable love. Scripture says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, not his anger. So again, I would challenge you to dare to believe that if you're being hit with guilt and condemnation, that's not God. You go, yeah, but you don't understand, Chuck, what I've done. I don't have to. He does. And he understands it better than you do. His love for you is bigger than your sin and your failure. What he gave himself on the cross for is that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and that would last forever. Condemnation doesn't create that. Accusation and condemnation. So he's there in the midst of your place, your broken place, to love you with an unquenchable love that you can't make him go away. And it's in that we learn, this is the one. He becomes my beloved. He's the beloved, but he becomes my beloved more than in any other place. And I learn to lean into my beloved. I can trust him. Because even in my worst place, he was not there condemning me. He was there wanting to save me. That's just who he is. So I love this scripture. He will take your chaff. He will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. It's amazing how the pleasures of his love become stronger than the pleasures of sin. And we're willing to watch the chaff burn away. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.